Listening, Part 3. You will hear someone talking. You will hear the person twice. Complete the information. Write short answers of 1 to 5 words.
Good evening, everyone. I feel most honoured to have been invited to speak at the Community Project Centre, as I'm a firm believer in local initiative. Indeed, setting up cottage industries seems to me the best answer to the present economic crisis. My name is Joanna Renton, and my special subject is the production of silk, technically known as sericulture. The word comes from a combination of the Latin word for silk and the French for cultivation. I started up a silk cooperative in Sussex in 2008, and though I say it myself, it has proved an enormous success. Okay, well, you all know what silk looks and feels like, but how many of you have thought about its origins? Believe it or not, it's been around for at least 3,000 years in China, where the wearing of garments made of this elegant, lustrous fabric indicated high social status. In the first millennium BCE, a trading route, later known as the Silk Road, became established. Production then spread to Japan and India, but it wasn't until the late Middle Ages that Western Europe began to produce silk, the process having been brought back from the East. However, the taste for silk declined during the Industrial Revolution, where mechanization facilitated the cheap production of cotton and wool. Recently, though, the silk industry has regained popularity. So why sericulture here? Well, the beauty is its simplicity. It's a real cottage industry. A mini silk farm kit, which enables you to start on a small scale, can be bought cheaply on the net nowadays. You first put your silkworm eggs in a warm box to incubate at a steady temperature till they hatch. Make sure you've got a ready supply of mulberry leaves, as that's what the silkworms will feed on. These are not actually worms despite the name, but caterpillars of the silkworm moth, and these will appear after about 10 days. The tiny silkworms will then feed on the mulberry leaves for about 6 weeks. It's astonishing to see the rate at which they grow. When they're about 5 centimetres long, they start spinning a silk cocoon around their black and white striped bodies. It's yellowish in colour, and when it's completed, you plunge it in boiling water and wind off the silk, which usually comes in an unbroken thread of about 1 kilometre. Your silk is now ready to be dyed and spun. The best way to start sericulture is by using this standard procedure. But as it involves the killing of the moth growing within the cocoon, some present-day silk farmers, including myself, now use alternative methods. For this, a different species of silkworm, which feeds on the castor plant, is used. Compared to standard silk, the material produced, known as eri silk, is less shiny. However, it is softer. What is revolutionary is that the moth is allowed to escape from the cocoon before the silk is unwound. This process is more labour-intensive as each cocoon has to have an escape hole made in it. This means we end up charging higher prices. Well, let's adjourn to the committee room now, where I'll answer any questions and show you samples of different silks and a video of the production process. Good evening, everyone. I feel most honoured to have been invited to speak at the Community Project Centre, as I'm a firm believer in local initiative. Indeed, setting up cottage industries seems to me the best answer to the present economic crisis. My name is Joanna Renton, and my special subject is the production of silk, technically known as sericulture. The word comes from a combination of the Latin word for silk and the French for cultivation. I started up a silk cooperative in Sussex in 2008, and though I say it myself, it has proved an enormous success. Okay, well, you all know what silk looks and feels like, but how many of you have thought about its origins? Believe it or not, it's been around for at least 3,000 years in China, where the wearing of garments made of this elegant, lustrous fabric indicated high social status. In the first millennium BCE, a trading route, later known as the Silk Road, became established. Production then spread to Japan and India, but it wasn't until the late Middle Ages that Western Europe began to produce silk, the process having been brought back from the East. However, the taste for silk declined during the Industrial Revolution, where mechanization facilitated the cheap production of cotton and wool. Recently, though, the silk industry has regained popularity. So why sericulture here? Well, the beauty is its simplicity. It's a real cottage industry. A mini silk farm kit, which enables you to start on a small scale, can be bought cheaply on the net nowadays. You first put your silkworm eggs in a warm box to incubate at a steady temperature till they hatch. Make sure you've got a ready supply of mulberry leaves, as that's what the silkworms will feed on. These are not actually worms, despite the name, but caterpillars of the silkworm moth, and these will appear after about 10 days. The tiny silkworms will then feed on the mulberry leaves for about 6 weeks. It's astonishing to see the rate at which they grow. When they're about 5 centimetres long, they start spinning a silk cocoon around their black and white striped bodies. It's yellowish in colour, and when it's completed, you plunge it in boiling water and wind off the silk, which usually comes in an unbroken thread of about 1 kilometre. Your silk is now ready to be dyed and spun. The best way to start sericulture is by using this standard procedure. But as it involves the killing of the moth growing within the cocoon, some present-day silk farmers, including myself, now use alternative methods. For this, a different species of silkworm, which feeds on the castor plant, is used. Compared to standard silk, the material produced, known as eri silk, is less shiny. However, it is softer. What is revolutionary is that the moth is allowed to escape from the cocoon before the silk is unwound. This process is more labour-intensive as each cocoon has to have an escape hole made in it. This means we end up charging higher prices. Well, let's adjourn to the committee room now, where I'll answer any questions and show you samples of different silks and a video of the production process.
You now have 30 seconds to read through and check your answers. That is the end of part 3.